Tell us about your family and their roots in Berlin pre-World War II.
Well, my family had lived in Germany for as far back as we have records. My great-great-grandfather had founded a fur company in 1850, and his son, my great-grandfather, took it over and made it into an international success. And with that, he had bought himself what we call an estate, a villa with large grounds. And that's where his son, my grandfather, lived with his wife and my mother and her siblings. And they were totally integrated Germans.
Now, did this account come to you primarily orally through your mom, or are there written documents to that effect?
Oh, I found written documents in the process of conducting this claim. But I used to hear stories from my grandmother, not so much my mother, who really didn't want to look back in life. My mother left Germany at the age of 11, and she forged a future for herself. But my grandmother, Nellie, used to regale me with stories of their life before Hitler came to power, and I used to lap it up. I loved hearing these stories. So this is how my memories of my grandmother are, of a very elegant, refined woman who had lived the good life, which had all gone.
Around what year was it when your mother at age 11 left for then the British Mandate of Palestine?
Oh, my mother left with her parents and siblings in 1933, in the summer of 1933. She had been coming home from school telling her parents horrible stories of what the little girls were saying and doing to her. They would put Der Stürmer in her desk, so she'd lift it up and find horrible anti-Semitic cartoons there. And my grandfather said, "I am not bringing up my children in this atmosphere. We're out of here." So he saw the writing on the wall very, very early on and got out.
At that point, was property already being seized from Jewish landowners?
No, it wasn't. This started to happen much later on. So my grandfather was able to leave with money when he left the country.
But his brother did not survive.
No, his brother Fritz, his younger brother, who was an ardent communist and felt himself to be totally German, he refused to leave Germany, even though my grandfather, his older brother, had got him a visa to get out, but he refused.
What is the process by which claims can be made to recover lost and stolen property?
It's highly complicated. I'm afraid for people claiming in Germany, the deadline has now passed. When the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, I started to look into the possibility that my grandmother had been telling me the truth and that there really was a property that they had once owned, which was just behind the Berlin Wall. And I realized early on that there was a deadline to claim, and I persuaded my mother to lodge a claim. Now, That has long since passed. So people are now approaching me, having read the book, saying, "Can you help me to get my family property back?" I can't. It's too late. But in the rest of Eastern Europe, it's a mess. And many countries have not sorted this issue out. And people are still, 71 years after the end of the war, they are still trying to get their properties back.
Your task was made all the more difficult initially because you really didn't have much by way of documentation, photographs, even an address.
I had nothing. I had nothing except my grandmother's stories, which were frankly like fairy stories. My mother would say, "Oh, ignore her. She's just making it up, or she's got hold of the wrong end of the stick. Who knows? And anyway, who do you think you are to take on the German government? You have nothing, no photos, no address, nothing." But I thought that there may well have been an injustice, and I had to get to the bottom of it. And I started digging. And the Germans do hold on to documents. They are inveterate hoarders of documents. And if I went to the right archive, I could find the necessary paperwork.
And as such, you encountered one Herr Munch.
I did. The first time I went into the building, after the wall came down, I was working for the BBC, and I was working on the first combined German elections. And in 1990, I'd been in Bonn to cover the elections, and then I took a few days of vacation, and I flew to Berlin, and I found the building, two blocks from Checkpoint Charlie. And I walked in, I said, "I want to speak to the most senior person here," and a portly gentleman came to reception, and I said, "I've come to claim my family's building." And he laughed at me, but he didn't laugh for too long. He took me into the canteen, and he said, "I'm going to phone head office." And when he came back, he said, "You're right. They've been waiting for this to happen, but they didn't know if anybody had survived."
Take us through what ultimately had to happen for you to be compensated for that property.
Herr Munch, this very nice gentleman who ran the building at that time, said to me, the documents exist. You go out there and find them. You've got to get this building back for your mother. And so the digging started. From that point, it was 6 years of hard work, basically building a legal case, finding documents to prove ownership, to prove what had happened during the Nazi era, how the family had come to lose the building. And also, you had to get, in Germany, something called an Erbschein, which is a certificate of inheritance. And in order to get that, you have to provide birth, death, marriage certificates, and wills. All of these things I had to get. But after 6 years, they capitulated and said, yes, you've proven the case.
Of course, your grandmother Nellie died in 1977. To what extent did your mom and other family members benefit from your hard work on everyone's behalf?
They did quite considerably because the German government wanted to hold on to the building. Now, although they said, yes, you've proven the case, they said, we don't want to give the building back. We don't want to restitute it to the family. We want to buy it off you. And in the mid-1990s, it was the Ministry of Transport. And at one point, the Minister of Transport himself had his office inside the building. So they offered money. So we had three valuations done, and they offered 20 million Deutschmarks, which in those days was the equivalent of $14 million. And my mother and her siblings said, yes, fine. So it was divided up, and it made their lives much more comfortable. And I'm pleased that I did it for that reason alone.
Dina Gold, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
A pleasure. Thank you.